Now, we're very glad today to have Noel Stevenson with us. I've been looking forward to this meeting for a number of weeks now, and you're very welcome, brother, and we trust the Lord will bless you. So we're going to ask Noel to come now and just bring to us what the Lord has laid upon his heart. Thank you, brother.
On the building, we have Jesus Saves painted up on the new building. So we're asked, why do you put that there, Jesus Saves? So we say, because Jesus Saves. And as the aeroplano is coming through there into Manila, they can see the roof there. If you're on the left-hand side of the plane coming down into Manila, you will see Jesus Saves. Amen. And on the other side of the roof, it will be in big letters, Christ died for the ungodly. So it doesn't matter what way you're flying in, there's going to be a witness. Sometimes they come in that way, and sometimes they come the other way and fly out, of course, the opposite way. So there's a witness there for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Corian, brethren and sisters, I want to thank you today, your minister and the session of the church, for giving us the opportunity again to maybe update you what's happening in their Lakeview, Manila, Pasig City, Manila, Philippines there, and to have this opportunity. I thank you for helping us financially, helping me with your prayers. That's the important part of it all. Continue to remember the work of the Lord in prayer in Lakeview. Wouldn't be the safest of areas at night time, but thank God we believe in the providence of God. And we believe in the protecting hand of the Lord, and we give him all the glory. And just, I was looking at the hymn there. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. I remember standing in the prayer meeting singing this hymn, or trying to sing it. And the voice was saying to me, why don't you take it? Are you with me? Why don't you take the light? That was the challenge, standing there beside Brother Alistair Stevenson and singing away there. But the voice was saying, take it. Take the light. So thank God for the privilege to be able to take the light there. God can speak in different ways. The Lord can speak to you out of a hymn book. He can speak to you from and challenge your hearts from the platform. But best of all, if I'm reading the Bible, I'll get the challenge from the word of the Lord. The Lord has different ways of speaking. We're praying that he may speak to us today and challenge our hearts. I just want to say, first of all, there is a little group of people now. They're at Lakeview, and they send you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people would be, or would have been, Catholic in their background. They've got saved, and now they're singing, there's power in the blood. And we praise the Lord for that. Yeah, I think you are aware the whole work started from a Sunday school, and then it evolved into what it is today. We believe in the providence of the Lord. There may be as it were, chance, off-the-cuff remarks made to you at times. and maybe it can be an arrow shot at a venture, and we pray that it will stick in the heart. I remember coming out of Sandy Row many, many years ago. We're there in prayer. We're coming over to speak to Mr. Ernie Allen, now dead, but we're going to talk to him or his son. And I met him going out the door, and he says, "Well, Noel, what are you doing today?" I'm just out of Sandy Row, Mr. Allen. And he puts the hat on his head, and as he's going out, he says, "Noel, extend your vision." And away he went, you see. That was an arrow shot at a venture. Are you with me, church? Say amen. That's right. I say to the Filipinos, "Say amen." And they all say amen. So I know that they understand me then when I say amen. Praise the Lord. But however, then in the providence of the Lord, we're out there. And so where are you going to go to work, establish a work? That's on our mind. So we're going visiting the people where they live, having open air meetings amongst the children primarily. And then the voice one day said, "Uncle Noel, will you come into my street?" So I don't know where your street is, so okay, you guide us now, and you turn right, that's in the Kenneth Way, which would take you down to the river, which would take you to the bridge, where the terrible loss there was. But then turn right again off Kenneth Way, and we're now under the muck and the mud, and there's no concrete, and you're walking through this area, singing to people, and just asking people, "Can we sing to you?" And you get the accordion and sing to the people. And then, in one of these small groups of people sitting about, nowhere to go, doing nothing, just chatting, this woman said, "Would you start a Sunday school in my house?" And so, okay, take us to your house now. And we went round to this woman's house, which had a tin roof on, of course, which had plastic walls, part of it breeze block, as we say. The rest of it was full of plastic and bits of sticks and stuff for the actor's walls. And that was her house, and that was where we started the Sunday school. Amen. In the providence of God, Brother Val, who when I met him, we were asked to go to a birthday sort of a party in the middle of the night. It might have been 12:30 night time. And so the little church van turns in now to this my street, I call it. And here's Val lying there drunk and sleeping on the bicycle lane beside him. So pick him up and bring him to the house that we were going to in the providence of the Lord. We're going to sing happy birthday to his sister and get some orange juice and biscuits. And they thought this was great, and it was great. So we sat beside this drunk fella here. He's married with one child, Val, and witnessed to him. And he talked just like any other drunk man would talk, a load of nonsense. So we keep talking to him anyway, and talk and talk, and eat biscuits and drink juice, and then invite him. "I'll collect you and bring you to the wee church, the Baptist church in Passaic, and bring you back again." And he keeps saying, "My wife, my wife," you say. He's worried about his wife, not worried about her getting saved, worried about the reaction of his wife if he goes to church. Maybe you're in here today and you're worried about the reaction of someone else, if you ask the Lord into your heart, you could be worried about that. What will he say? What will she say? What will the gang do? And all this crack. So we said to this drunk fella, now sobering up a wee bit, Val, never, don't you worry about your wife. You worry about yourself. And then the Lord will take care of your wife. And the Lord did take care of his wife because the Lord saved her. Amen. And saved him. And he was the builder. And so he was the bricky. He was the plasterer. He was the plumber. He was the electrician. He was the welder. He was just everything. Uh-huh. And there he was lying in the mud, sleeping, apologizing to me when he woke up. He got a big shock when he opened his eyes and seen a whitey. I'm telling you, that's what they call you, whiteys. And that's why I try and darken down, hide my face a bit, you know. Act a goat. But however, you know what you need to do, bro? You need to fix this pulpit. Look at it. See you carpenters. Hey, man, do you see it rocking about? Somebody come in here and get fire and bang it, it'll fall. So tomorrow morning there'll be somebody looking at this pulpit. Amen. But however, Val got saved and he was the builder there. He used to carry the accordion around for me and I was glad of him. He was my bodyguard as well. I was very happy with Val walking behind me or carrying the accordion on his shoulder. Amen. But praise the Lord, his wife is now a school teacher, not a qualified school teacher, but volunteering this past 3 years in a little preschool that we have with other two other women, teacher family, who is qualified, and her sister as well. So we praise the Lord for that. Then in the providence of the Lord, in our old building, looking down in the garbage and the water and all the mess of the day there, looking at this, just beside us, 10 metres across the street from us, looking at it and dreaming and seeing a church. Uh-huh. On that piece of ground. It hadn't come up for sale. The piece of ground wasn't for sale at that time. But every night we would have looked down when young people came out from here, from Ulster. I would have shared the vision, if you want to call it a vision, there and talked to him about it. It was just a lot of garbage there. But it came up for sale. We were able to get it. We have now a beautiful building on it. And we say, praise the Lord. And so we can trace things, the providence of the Lord. I'm dwelling a little on God's providence. Brother Trevor came out last September, and I was glad of his company. I think he brought the Ulster Irish rain with him. But it was coming up the road there, it was lashing. Thought, no, not again. But however, he arrived on Friday. Next day, we had to go to a basketball court where there was going to be like a karate thing there amongst each other. You wouldn't understand the other name, but that's a type of that karate. I was to preach to the people, and then they would go into their games. But however, the water now is beginning to get up engine depth. It all depends where you're going. Downhill, it'll be over your engine and then back up again. You thank the Lord, stay on the top. Amen. But however, that's the way it was. We got to the place. The water was rising in the basketball court. Abandon it. And that for the next approximately 8 weeks, that's the way it would have been. Kept there, just subsiding a little by day, and I thank God for Brother Trevor. We had a wee 48-hour illness with a head swirling about and being very sick. And I thank the Lord in the providence of God that there was a wedding from Coleraine by the name of Uncle Trevor, who could stay with us and understand the position. We praise the Lord in the providence of God. You put up a building, never, as we would say, in a million years would you ever think that this area would flood again. They built a wall to keep the river in times of flood. There might be 8 feet high, a very, very strong wall down the side. We watched them build it there. That was the purpose of the wall, to dam back the river. I think we need to understand a typhoon would swell any river up to 3 and 4 and 5 feet, depending where you are. It could be 10 feet within a couple of hours. The volume of water that will come down and fill rivers and then all come down into one river and flood everywhere. We need to understand that in a way, to understand just what happens at times. Washing the mud out of the mountains, then you have a flood of mud coming down, rocks, everything sweeping. We've seen it sweeping everything away and sweeping you who built your house on the side of the mountain, taking you with it down. But praise the Lord where we are in Lakeview there. The Lord preserved us. People came out from away deep into the area. They made their little houses, which would be sticks and plastic over, just a covering of plastic. They have nothing else to put there. This is their second home. Off the bridge down where they're going to make another motorway, no concrete on it. They'll just let it sit for a lot of years until it all hardens and all. And then when there's more money, they'll put concrete into it. So the people put their sticks down, and that was just to get out of the water there. Maybe 3 feet, 4 feet of water in the home, and it's going to go nowhere. Where will you go if you have a family? Where are you going to sleep if that's the way it is, you say? So, okay, leave it, come on to higher ground. And then the typhoon struck Signal 3. And Signal 3 would be very, very severe. I'm 3 floors up, so the door was blowing, and we were standing with the feet apart, holding the door, the rain coming directly in on you and blowing you back. And then the wind would stop and you would go forward with the door and then an odd blast of wind. And that's the protection round is blown down and everything racking about. But however, it would have been far worse if you were on the ground there. But I'm just letting you see the strength of this. And then when that typhoon struck there, it just wiped the whole place out. The people, hundreds of people on that bridge area there, and wiped them. We had the privilege, Uncle Trevor, of giving the tracks out. Remember, walking down that area, everybody got the tracks that were living there, and then later on wiped out, people drowning in the river, washed away, never see them again. And nobody's really worried, only the immediate family, and life goes on. So praise the Lord, however, that in the midst of it all, we had buildings to accommodate the people who wished to come. And then, never would have dreamed about it. The 3 floors, full of people, the other floor, ground floor of the new building, full of people. Mama, mother, what you do is, you get your bit of wire, you get your curtains, whatever, and put it up there, and you will live there with your family. The next person will get a bit of stick or something, put it up there, get it standing some way, and you will live there. And that's the way the whole place was. But however, We thank the Lord that number one, the buildings were there. Number two, we were able to preach the gospel to them. Some of them have got saved and are attending the church, still attending the church now, the services, and the children coming to Sunday schools. Then we were able to feed them. Uncle Trevor would have got his business stuff and went down to the outside one there and give it, and then up through the floors. And we were able to do it and give them rice as well and give other people rice as well. And how were we able to do it? We were able to do it because people from here sent money out in the time of distress at that time, and we were able to meet the need. The Lord met the need. Amen. Say amen, Colrian. That's right. That's right. Give the Lord that glory, because it all comes from the Lord. I have learned this lesson. The burden is not our burden. It's from the Lord. The Lord gives you the burden, and then the guidance to go here, to go there, to do this, to knock that door, may not be overseas. It can be here in Coleraine. Lord, where do you want me to go? And you pray like that, just local. Where do you want me to go? Is God able? Has he changed? Is he still able to guide you to some person to talk to about the Lord? Is he still able? We're having lessons about the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is still able to guide, give specific guidance. Go there. Amen. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Remember a man in revival? Remember him being asked to go to the desert? And away he goes. I'll go to the desert. No talk, no nothing. Go to the desert, and away he goes. And he's leaving revival behind him. Amen. And off he goes. Now he's in the desert place. And here's a caravan train, camel train going by. And now glue yourself to that chariot. Amen. Not every chariot, this chariot. And when he goes to this chariot, the man is reading the word of the Lord. Amen. Are you with me, church? Say amen. Ah, that's it. And he's reading the word of the Lord. And the question is asked, understandest thou what thou readest? Not, do you know you're a sinner, mister, going to hell? No, not that. Understandest thou what thou readest? We can learn from the word of God how to approach sinners about their state. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. Remember Jesus sitting at the well. Does he say to this woman, do you know that you are a Samaritan and that I am Jesus? And if you don't get saved, you will go to hell. No, he doesn't say that. He says, ma'am, would you get me a drink? Amen. Drink of water. Amen. Are you with me? So we can learn, from reading the word of the Lord how to approach sinners about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Open your Bible with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you for the prayer support. You pray on. The people may not be this number, may not be this number of people that would have already met in Lakeview, but I can assure you it's not too far off the number of people that are here today that would be meeting on that garbage site in Passaic City, Lakeview. And we praise the Lord for it. Amen. And it started with a group of children sitting in the dust there, being taught the word of the Lord. I'm telling you that it is a miracle, and to God be the glory. Praise the Lord. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 6 here, and we can see We can hear this little odd verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8, saying, I heard the voice. I heard the voice. This young man is now at a crossroads in his life. He's down on his knees. We would imagine that he's down on his knees now there, and he's before the Lord, and there has been things happening in his life to bring him to this stage in his life, to these circumstances that he's now in, that he's hearing the voice of the Lord. You remember the children of Israel out of Egypt, over the sea, now into the wilderness. They stop. Where do they stop? They stopped at a place called Kadesh Barnea. You remember Kadesh Barnea. The children will know this one. 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 bad, 2 good at Kadesh Barnea. And now this is the nation, Israel, as a nation who have been redeemed by the blood of a lamb too. Amen. And they have been brought out of bondage. They have been set free. And now the pilgrim journey has started for them. And God's will and God's mind is, I will bring you out of bondage and out of Egypt, and I will bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. So we're having the spies going out. They are at the crossroads in the nation. As a nation of people here, they have been set free. There they are. And they listen to 10 men who say, we are not able to go forward, and they lose out with God. Now, Christian, the reality is you and me and young person in particular today, you can be at a crossroads decision in your life, and you can make the wrong turn and lose out with God for another 40 years. And the older people in the congregation, you know that for the next 40 years, because of that wrong decision that they made that day, they wander about murmuring and complaining against the man of God and against God, complaining about the bad deal they got. Are you with me? They're murmuring. This manna, we need flesh. There's no water. There's no nothing. And they spend the next 40 years murmuring against the man of God because they made the wrong decision 40 years previous at Kadesh Barnea. Is that okay? Amen. And you can make the wrong decision. You could make the wrong decision today. God can bring you to a crossroads. Here's another example. You young people, here's a colt or a donkey, and it's tied. Where is it tied? It's tied where two roads meet. It may be like that, a crossroads. We would like to think it was a crossroad where two ways meet. There's the colt tied. Do you see it tied? I emphasize the word tied. It's going nowhere. Are you with me? And no man has ever sat on it. That's important. Maybe you're in the service today and you're not saved. You're not born again. Your mama and papa, they're born again. But you are not saved. And you're tied up there. and you're at the crossroads, and I can take this turn or that turn. I can go either way, but I'm tied. And so, brethren and sisters and young people, I can be tied up with my own ambitions. Are you with me now? I can have my own personal ambitions, and I can become tied up. The Lord says, you go to the crossroads, you cut that colt free, and bring him to me. And the Lord sat on him. Unsaved person, maybe you don't want the Lord to sit on your life. Do you understand me now? For Jesus to come into my life, take over me. Well, I want to live whatever way I want to live. I want to be able to go wherever I choose. I'm in church today because my parents want me to be in church. When I get old enough to make my own mind up, I will not be choosing church. Is that you today? That was me a lot of years ago. 4th of November, 1962, I got down on my knees in the church manse and asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. Amen. And Jesus took over. Praise the Lord. Young man, young woman, that might be you today, that you wanted, you have your things to do, but if I got saved, I'd have to go to church. That would be terrible. Ministers always talk of, you need to go to a prayer meeting. I would be reading my Bible. That's terrible. I would have to do all these things. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, you will be in the prayer meeting. You will be reading the Bible. Everything will become new. Amen. Are you with me? All things new. Praise the Lord. And so, young person unsaved, you can be at the crossroads today, and God is bearing on your heart, but you can make the wrong decision. Turn another way. Turn away from the Lord. Uh-huh. But however, Christian, we can be at the crossroads decision today, even both young or old, to go on for the Lord, to do something for the Lord, to make a conscious decision that I'm going, even in the twilight, as it were, of my life, I'll go and do something for the Lord. Amen. Here's a young man. He heard the voice. Whose voice? The Lord's voice. He heard the Lord's voice. If you notice in verse 1, I saw in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Amen. And from the preaching part of it, when we're looking at these circumstances, we would imagine that God takes King Uzziah out of this lad's life so that he can see the Lord. Amen. Are you with me? I was talking to a fella, all in motorbikes, these big, you know, the big motorbikes and all, and the leather jackets and all, and the hair flying and everything. He says, you know what stopped me coming to the Lord? The motorbikes. And you think of that. The motorbikes. Lived and loved just motorbikes. I'm not saying it's not, you have a motorbike dead on, but you know that's everything. His life was all around motorbikes. Yeah, I can shut the Lord out with anything. Uh-huh. Close him out. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Amen. And so there are things in my life that we need to put back into the background and put to the side and get then a clear vision of the Lord. You've heard this in prayer meetings. You've heard the minister repeat it. We all repeat it. Without the vision, the people perish. We've heard that before today. Without the vision, the people perish. And we're thinking about souls in hell. That's what we're thinking about. I have a sneaking feeling without the vision of the Lord, the people perish. Are you with me now? I need to have the Lord, see the Lord, see what he did for me. Get a vision of the Lord. Look at the cross. Let the cross motivate us, amen. Just stop short and look at Jesus hanging on the cross and then go out and serve the Lord, praise the Lord. He did it all for me and he did it all for you. Let that be your motivation. Jesus on the cross. I saw also the Lord. Amen. And then if you notice verse 5, it says here in the last part of the verse, mine eyes have seen the King. Amen. Yeah, he sees the Lord, and we know the Lord is the King. King of my life, I crown thee now. Have we not sung that one? Huh? Have we sung that one before? King of my life, I crown thee now. I know, young people, you would know that the King is the sovereign, and we do the King's will, and we bow to the King, and the King rules. Talking about Jesus, amen. Not worried about earthly kings or queens either. We're talking about the King of Kings, and he is the rightful owner, and he is sovereign, and he is the one that we need to say, King of my life, I crown thee now. But he has seen the King here. I want you to notice that it seems to be a progressive thing. Progressive. Seen the Lord. There's a work being done in his heart. He sees himself too. Amen. And you know that. I'm skipping things here, but he does see himself too. So he's watching the Lord. I'm looking at the Lord here. I'm reading the Bible. I see him in the Bible. I'm getting pictures of him there in the word of the Lord. And now I see the King. The King. King of kings he is. Young believer, young Christian today. And then just coming down the pathway there, talking to your young minister. And he made reference to the church in the book of Revelation. Rich, need of nothing. They needed nothing, they said. And the Lord said, oh, this is what I think. I think you're blind. I think you're wretched. I think you're naked. I think you need this eye salve here that I have. I have eye salve that will fix your eye. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it peculiar? They're looking at each other and saying, we don't need anything. We have need of nothing. That's what they said. We have need of nothing. Thank God our brother's preaching on the Holy Ghost, for we need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah, but do you see it there? We have need of nothing. The Lord says, you're blind, and I have something here. And if you let me rub it on your eyes, and you'll see again, praise the Lord. That's what we need. We need this eye salve from God to open our eyes to see, first of all, the King of Kings, and then see the need across the world. Uh-huh. And so, mine eyes have seen the King. And then, the final one here in verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord. I challenge you, I ask you, did you ever hear the voice of the Lord? I'm not talking about an audible voice here. You're not going to hear an audible voice. I don't think so. Where do I hear the voice of the Lord? From out of the word of the Lord. Amen. The Lord can speak to your heart from the platform, the pulpit. Yeah. But either a young person in particular today, do you pray? Are you down on your knees? Are you asking the Lord, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say to me? Do you pray like that? Are you afraid to pray like that? Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're afraid what we call the call of God. Maybe you're afraid of that. Maybe you don't say, Lord, I want to hear your voice, and if I hear it, I'll do it. Amen. Well, let me to challenge you girls, because here's a girl, she's in college, not here. She's dead now, and she wants to go to China. So she goes to college, and whoever comes, she can't do the exams. And the chairman says, look, Gladys, no, you should do. You should leave. Uh-huh. And there's plenty of work in London, plenty of poor people there. You do that work, street work, with those people. Yeah? But you see in here, there was a burning desire for China. Are you with me now? Uh-huh. There's just something in the heart and the head that all she's thinking about is China. And when you read about this missionary pioneering in China, this is what you read. She goes up into her bedroom. She puts her Bible on her bed. She brings out a few shillings. She puts a few shillings on top of the Bible, and she prays. And she says, Lord, here's my Bible. Here's all the money I have. And here's me. I'm giving you it all. Huh? And the Lord took her and planted her in China. Amen. It's the desire to serve the Lord. Is there a willingness? Is there a desire? Is there something there? I want to serve God. Maybe be a Sunday school teacher. Uh-huh. I started serving the Lord. The next Friday night, I got saved on the 4th of November, 1962. The next following night, the following Friday night, I was sitting in amongst the children in a children's, in the Friday night children's meeting. I filled my pocket with sweets, and I thought, this row will be the best row that I sit in here. And when the man, the leader, would say, Uncle Noel's row was the best row of the night, I had them all plied with sweets, you see. Amen. All right, Trevor. full of sweets. But I felt something had been accomplished. Amen. Yes. And that's how it started. Praise the Lord. This fella here knows Billy Bummer. One of those prayer meetings. One of the prayer meetings, all nights of prayer, it used to go down into Saturday morning. It was like this when you left the prayer meeting. And there he got me maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. Noel, would you be a Sunday school teacher? No. Why not? Can't do it. Boy, this went on and on and on. How do you know you can't do it? Did you ever try it? No, I never tried it, but I know I can't do it. Uh-huh. On and on and on, like an old bulldog bite. He doesn't know to let go. Amen. I have a bulldog, American pit bull. It killed me other wee dog. It killed it, Trevor. Remember the first attack it had on him? He's dead now. First week I lay of the place, he kills it. But however, he's my last line of defense, brothers and sisters. Put the steel gates on, another steel gate, the next steel gate, and then a pit bull. Amen. And they don't like getting bit because they might get rabies. Uh-huh. And they've no money to pay for the medicine. Amen. All right, brother. You've got to be practical. And if you say to me, do you believe in the Lord's protection, Noel? I'll say to you 100%, I believe in the Lord's protection. And he's protected us all these years out in that garbage place. Praise the Lord. Amen. Say amen, Korean. Yeah. And so here we have, do you see the boy down on his knees? The Lord has cleaned up his eyes. He has seen the king. Now he's going to touch his ear. Uh-huh. Young person, our ears can be full of everything. And it's in particular music. Music. Up-to-date music. Uh-huh. Well, you keep at that stuff and you may not hear the Lord. Needs to be cleansed, the ear. The ear needs to be open. I heard the voice, amen. I heard the voice. What does this voice say? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Praise the Lord. Who will go for us? Who even will help in the children's meeting? Who will help in the Sunday school? Big Billy Coulter. There's people does things and they think they're doing nothing. I remember for years and years in the church hall, the place would have been full of children like this. But there was Big Billy Coulter at the door. And he watched, you remember, that's all he did. It was very important. And he just did it and said nothing to. He took a heart attack there the other day. But Big Billy, you couldn't do without them. I'm telling you, older people, even to come to the children's meeting, the workers will be saying, amen. That's encouragement. Praise the Lord. And listen, it's a work. Just to be there, it's a work. It's a work that I can do. Amen. And even in the twilight of my life, I can do it. It's something for me to do. Sitting among a gang of weans. Amen, ma'am. Praise the Lord. I challenge the Filipinos, mothers, to talk to you. I need teachers. We're going to expand the school here. You will not be paid. They're your children. They're not my children. They're your children. They need to be taught. We want to teach them at 3 and 4 and 5 year old. If they come in at 3 year old, amen. And we will give you rice. Pay them by giving them rice on a Monday and rice on a Wednesday. And thank God, 3 mothers there responded to that. And they're still at it today. Praise the Lord. And they get rice on Monday. They do get rice on a Wednesday. And they're pleased. It's an opening. It's an avenue. I finish with this one. What does he say? Then said I, here am I, send me. Praise the Lord. You ever hear the voice of the Lord? I'll give you a word from the Lord. This is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord says in the book of John, other sheep I have. That's what Jesus said. Other sheep I have. Them also I must bring. That's what he says. You ever hear that voice? That's what Jesus said. And when I read it, I asked myself, "Hey, they'll hear my voice." So I said, how could they hear the voice? How could these people hear God's voice? And then the challenge came through you. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. When you go and you witness to them, they're hearing the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord's voice. Other sheep I have. Who are these sheep? Where are these sheep? I must bring them into the fold. I tell you what we need. Look, brother, sister, I forget his name. Torrey. You can fill your room full of books. And we need books. Good books. Right? You fill it doctrines and stuff like that. Reading this book on Torah. And one wee remark in it, one statement in it. He's talking about prayer. The book on prayer, Torah. And he says, if you want to be like Jesus, spend much time in his presence. And do you see that little remark? That's it. You can study all the books. You'll study the Bible, of course. And we need to look at books. I've got books and I'll read them. And we need books. But if you want to be like Jesus, spend much time in his presence. And this is a part of Jesus. He's the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus as the evangelist. Look at him in his evangelistic work as he says, I must go into the next city. Amen. And preach. Follow Jesus as he's evangelizing. And if you spend time in his presence, I have a sneaking feeling you will want to start a little evangelizing for your King. Amen. Maraming, maraming, salamat. It means thank you very much. Thank you.